Okay. Thank you for having me this morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. So I'm happy to be here to share the Village Movement. It's a relatively new model of aging and aging in community. And we had put out some very nice handouts. I hope that you have those available to reference. But the Village Movement actually began a few years before SAIL started. So it began with a group of people, neighbors, living in Boston, who on Beacon Hill, who had talked at length about their desire to stay in their homes as they aged, and really banded together to try and figure out how to do that together. And they created a group called Beacon Hill Village, and that's in Boston. And the idea was, and similar to SAIL, is to form a membership to work together to make that happen. And they created the membership organization, and then they pursued a 501c3 so they could be a nonprofit organization. And so the organization itself was governed and funded and founded by the members themselves. A couple of years after that, actually in 2005, SAIL began here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we launched as a naturally occurring retirement community, a NORC demonstration that was funded through an appropriation from the Administration on Aging through the government. And the idea was to launch a membership-based organization, one that would be a nonprofit, and one that would focus largely on prevention and would be member-driven, that would include volunteerism and also an ability to draw from services. And with the main idea that the older adult themselves would use a small amount of their disposable income to actually fund a system or a way to age in place and grow older in a more healthy, connected way, and to prevent what we know are common problems and risks to independence, so to prevent the need for institutionalization or hospitalization through the many benefits and services offered through the organization or the village. So we started a little differently than Beacon Hill Village, and but we're considered a village, and I believe we are the second oldest village in the country. And the village itself came from the idea it takes a village to age in place and to age in a healthy, connected way. So we basically began by getting together with members of the community, having presentations and discussion groups about what the risks are for people as they age and they live in their own homes. We wanted to hear directly from the older adults. And we began SAIL by offering these sorts of presentations and events where we could get people together, eventually forming some focus groups, and then, of course, inviting and encouraging the older adults themselves to participate and to become part of the organization and to join the organization. So that was back in 2005 when we started SAIL through that 17-month grant appropriation, which helped immensely. We are also, we were founded through Oakwood Village and Attic Angel. They're two Madison-based nonprofit retirement communities offering the full continuum of care. And their purpose was to help create a community-based option for people who either were choosing not to move onto their campuses, perhaps they couldn't afford to move on to their campuses, or just had no desire at all to live in a congregate setting. So the idea was to offer an outreach and a program for them, or an opportunity for them to live at home, but have almost some of the same benefits of living in a retirement community that they could have at home. So we started, as I said, in 2005 with those groups, and within about a year, we had maybe about 30 to 60 members or people participating. And we assumed that within the first year or two, we'd have about 500 to 1,000 members, and that has played out very differently over the years. So we currently have 500 members in SAIL, people over the age of 55. And, of course, we have attrition each year, people who move away or pass away, who can't be members or choose not to be. So on average, we have about 500 members each year. And we are, as I said, a nonprofit. We're governed by Oakwood Village and Attic Angel. But what I feel has helped SAIL evolve and really succeed has been the fact that both of those organizations have really encouraged and supported us so that we could grow organically. And they have provided us space and human resource infrastructure, but everything we do really is SAIL generated, and they support us, but they don't govern us in a way, you know, as far as having us perform in any certain way. They really have allowed SAIL to grow organically and to evolve. And they see that as a benefit, too, because it is a membership-based organization. So I don't know if there are any specific questions about SAIL. I thought I could begin with sharing some information about the membership itself, and then some of the benefits that the members have inspired us to help them create and that they use on a day-to-day basis. But I thought I would ask if there are any specific questions, or if that sounds like a direction that you'd like to go today with the presentation. So,
I think your plan for going forward is a good one. And then if people have questions, guys, feel free to jump in and ask them. Or if there's a good stopping point, you can ask them then, too.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you. Today the SAIL membership, we have members ranging from the age of 58 to 102. The members are primarily women, and I would say about 65 to 70% of our members are women. We also have a majority of single people. Again, about 65% of our membership is single, and that, I think, is pretty common throughout the country as far as the other villages that have formed throughout the last 13 years. So our demographic is, again, primarily single women. We do have couples. We have people located throughout Madison. I would say the majority of our membership lives on the west side of Madison, where we originated. And we continue to grow. We are trying to expand to other nearby areas, cities, neighborhoods. But I will say that one of the challenges is, of course, trying to create that sense of community beyond a, say, 4 to 5 mile radius. That gets a little more difficult in terms of transportation and people getting out to events and things. But definitely we do have members who are located throughout Madison and the connecting communities. So the membership tends to be people, or on average the age would be about 79. But again, we have some younger members who actually join with the idea of volunteering, many of them with sort of a pay-it-forward mindset, people realizing that someday they may need extra help and services and volunteer help, so they join and volunteer. And then sometimes they find that they actually could use some services and actually use them. We have services based on what members have inspired us with in terms of what they need. So from the beginning, one of the most common requests and needs is to have access to people who can help in their home, but people that are screened and trustworthy. And I would say what we've created is more or less a souped-up Angie's List. So it's basically a list of 70 to 80 different service providers, whether they're handymen, window washers, plumbers, organizers, home care, private people that go out and do home care. And what we do is we pre-screen them. Many of them come to us on recommendation from a member. And then we also require them to carry liability insurance. So whenever a member requests a service and we connect them to it or to that person, they know that that person is someone that we would have in our own home, basically. That's kind of our criteria. They've passed all the tests that we have, or the vetting process. That is one of the most popular and widely used services that we have. We always ask for a discounted rate, and that is also a positive for our membership. So maybe a 5 or 10% discount, but it is a very nice actual perk to being a member. We also learned early on that people who live alone feel much more relieved if they know someone knows if they've gotten up and they're up and around for the day. So we created a daily check-in service that is similar to what you would find in a retirement community. And this is nice because right at first, the person who suggested it said, I don't want to have to talk or chit-chat in the morning with someone. I'm often in a hurry or I'm very busy. I just want someone to know that I've checked in and that I'm okay. And we also have had the feedback of, I'm retired now. I really don't want someone waking me up. So what we did is we created a window of time between midnight and 10 in the morning that members can check in. They call in, and it's similar to a caller ID type of software, and we can see if they've checked in. If they haven't, then we follow up with them and make sure everything is okay. So that's, again, a member-inspired service that's very well used. We have about 50 members on that service as we speak right now. And that changes occasionally, but it's approximately 50 people. The other services that are popular with the members are things like tech support. We recognize that the older adults really appreciate having one-on-one or very small group tech support. It could be anything from that remote control at home that all of a sudden the TV goes blank and they're not sure how that works, to having help on their computer or their iPad and that sort of thing. So that's part of being a member, is they get that sort of support from us. And we have other services such as rides. I think most communities we experience where it's great to ask someone if they want to stay at home and then try and help them stay in their homes as they age. But once a person gives up driving, it really becomes, we feel, our responsibility to make sure we do everything we can to get them out and stay connected with other human beings and enjoy social events and go to appointments and things like that. So we offer a volunteer transportation service. The members themselves volunteer, and they help by becoming a volunteer driver. And we have community volunteers who help us as well. That service, again, is very popular amongst a group of members who use it regularly. We have RSVP in Madison, which is another nonprofit, and they do a great job with volunteer transportation as well. Theirs is limited to medical appointments, so we can complement that by offering the social transportation as well. And maybe it's even a trip to the grocery store or health club or whatever. So it's very important for us not to duplicate services. We live in a community, I've heard there's, I don't even know the number, maybe 8,000 nonprofits or something, 4,000 of them 501c3s in Madison. There are many resources here in our county and in the Madison area. And it's really important to us as an organization not to duplicate. And so most of these things that I'm talking about are, to our knowledge, not offered elsewhere. We also have learned that people who join SAIL, they really appreciate kind of the easier, simple little things that help make life easier. So we added some things such as mattress flips. That's a very unusual service, but again, we heard through an older adult that that was one thing that became nearly impossible to do, and we felt that it was something we could offer very easily. So on a quarterly basis, we get some volunteers and we go house to house and we do mattress flipping. We call that a perk of membership. We'll also pick up on certain days old computer equipment or things that need to be recycled and take those to the proper places, and that's appreciated by many members. We have offered, as part of the membership, house checks. We recognize people often go away on a vacation and they just like someone to check the basement or water the garden, water some plants, things like that. So we provide 4 house checks per year as part of the membership. We basically try to offer things that are very practical, and we keep evolving and adding to that list. Just recently we realized that sometimes people need help with kind of disposing of things, and we thought putting together a resource list of all the places that we can help get items to for recycling, that that's a really easy thing to provide. We provide discounts to the local recreation department, and we encourage people to attend exercise or programs that will help them improve balance and ways to avoid falls, so that's definitely useful and helpful to people in the community. And then we support members as they create their own interest groups and things. So we have members who create groups such as a men's roundtable discussion group, or we have 2 women just recently who formed a group to provide garage sales or yard sales, and they'll go and actually pick up items and hold yard sales, and it's a way for people to socialize and connect and meet one another, and also has the advantage of getting rid of or downsizing some of the things they don't need. And we have members who get together for lunch. We call it a lunch bunch. More social in mind. People, smaller groups, sometimes it's easier for people to get to know each other and to develop friendships. So we like to support that as much as we can through SAIL. So I wanted to mention the membership. We do offer a sliding fee. So if a member cannot afford SAIL, then we provide either a free membership or a very reduced rate. The current rate of membership to receive all of our services is $395 a year per household, or $34 a month. And that includes all of those items I mentioned. And then the associate or the beginner membership is $17 a month, so it's half of that. And that includes access to our pre-screened vendor service, and it includes invitations to all of our social events, and we often do monthly educational programs and things as well. So that is what the beginner or the associate membership is. So I will stop there and see if anyone has any questions or any areas that you'd like me to cover or expand on.
And I know one thing that you and I talked about a little bit is how a village differs from senior centers and other services that might be available in the community. I don't know if you want to comment on that just a little bit.
Sure. I'd love to. We differ in the services that we offer, the access to pre-screened vendors, for example. That's very unique to what people have explained to us as far as what they can get. And also, I think the main difference is this is a membership organization. So it's different in that the people who join SAIL are encouraged to volunteer and to help evolve the organization. And they're also encouraged to draw from services, too. So that's kind of a different sort of, a different model. We do not receive any public funding, so all of our budget is through membership dues, through donations, and also through some grants. And then mainly that everything we do, we try to really complement what's offered already. And so we have many members who are engaged very strongly with the senior centers. We may end up co-sponsoring programs with a senior center or with other local groups. So we see ourselves as really complementing all of that. And I think the main difference, at least what I understand, is when people join SAIL, part of the peace of mind is knowing that anything that they need, no matter what it is, they will call and they're invited to call and we will help them. So it's more of a one-on-one or a personalized sort of membership service. It might be looking up information. It might be finding a loaner wheelchair real quickly that they need all of a sudden. And it may be needing a ride like the next morning for something that came up. It might be needing more of a retired nurse advocate to go to an appointment, that sort of thing. We get all kinds of requests. We even had someone once who was leaving to go out of the country, and she had a parakeet or a pet bird, and she needed someone to take it and take care of it for a couple of months, and we even found someone. So, we never know what we're going to be asked for on any given day, but the members know that all they need to do is give us a call, and we will work on it. We'll figure it out with them.
So questions from other people on the line. And Anne, just so you know, when I ask for questions, I usually give everyone about a minute to think about
sure.
it. And
oh,
themselves.
You bet.
So
bet.
The dead air time is just part of it. So you can just, we'll just wait that out.
Oh, sure.
Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hi, just wondering, if somebody wanted to start a group, how would you suggest they go about doing that?
So we have had a few people request or contact us about that, and I think it would be really exciting. There aren't any that I know of in Wisconsin that are actually, there may be one or two, but the best thing I think to do, there's a couple of things. Number one, kind of getting a sense and assessing what the interests and needs are in the community that you're in. I think that's really important in Madison. Honestly, I think we are so, there are many services and through the government, through the nonprofits. So Madison is very resource rich. I think if you live in a community that isn't that resource rich, it becomes even more of an opportunity to create something that would grow and that would be really helpful, even more so. So I would definitely take a look at what is available. And then finding out, you know, just even through public forums or having like a town meeting sort of thing, to inquire from the older adults themselves and their families about what sorts of things do they feel challenged with, or what sorts of things would they identify as needs that they have. There's a lot coming out about loneliness now and how detrimental that is to people and their health. And I think, you know, it's sometimes hard to draw people out, you know, especially if they, they've aged and maybe they don't drive anymore, things like that. I would definitely try and gather a core group of people who have an interest in this, and whether it's for themselves or maybe for parents. Maybe it's professionals who are retired, you know, social workers, nurses. I find retired engineers are very helpful as far as how they can get things built and started. How they think, I think, is really great. And a lot of retired educators, at least that's what we find, are people who really can embrace and really seem to gravitate towards this idea of building community, helping each other, almost like a co-op sort of thing. But I think it's getting a core group, you know, whether it be, I don't know, 6 or 8 people at first, and then you build from there. If you have a retirement community in your area, or you know, a university, a higher education, those are also great resources because they can help you identify people who can benefit, and you can build in some intergenerational programming as well. So there is on the Village Network, on the handout, I added the 2017 Village Network fact sheet, and that Village to Village Network, and that's the name of it, Village to Village Network. If you Google that, you can find, we have an association now, and there's hundreds of us villages, and we actually have a forum online, and we share information back and forth. But the Village Network, we have prepared some materials that are really helpful. It's like a village toolkit or a 101. And we help, you know, groups that are trying to establish a village. Like I've told many people, we can share what not to do. And, you know, experience is a good thing. So you know, reaching out, getting some extra help that way is great too.
And we can put that Village Network address on the website as well.
We'll put that
link on our coffee break website too.
Great. Yeah. I don't know if that answered your question, but
it did. Thank you.
Good.
Other questions from the line? And Anne, I have one that I want to get in here. So,
sure.
From your experience in working with these other adults and working with the community, I'm wondering if you can sort of take the big picture stance and talk a little bit about what you see as the impacts or the outcomes on people or on communities from being a part of this. So I'm thinking you mentioned isolation and loneliness, and so being part of this might help reduce loneliness. But if you're thinking in the big picture, what else do you see as sort of the long-term impacts of these villages in communities?
I would say that we've been very instrumental in helping people remain in the home that they love for longer than I think they would have been able to. I mean, I think it really, and they tell us that oftentimes directly too, knowing how, for example, children of older adults are often spread out throughout the country or the world, and it's different than it was when our parents were older. So I think really helping to create more peace of mind and sustain people as they live in their homes, but not, encouraging them to be living alone and then risking loneliness or accidents, things like that. Now, I won't say that our members haven't had situations where they, you know, they have problems or accidents or things happen and they do have to move. And there are many times we help members make the decision to move into a more supportive setting, or maybe it's assisted living or independent apartments where there it's more of a congregate setting. Our mantra is really all about home is where you put your head at night on the pillow, and there are many people who really thrive when they leave their home. So I think the big picture is helping people get more educated, know they have a really great support system, and then help them make decisions proactively, rather than having to make a decision in a crisis. And I do think that is one of the outcomes, is we've helped people, and then we've also had many people share that, you know, as they aged, they were losing friends and, you know, things were happening. And becoming part of the village helps people make new friends and build new relationships. And that has been, I think, very significant for people in the organization.
Great. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Last call for questions from the line. All right. Well, Anne, I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing this information with us. It was so helpful and interesting. I want to encourage everyone to think about this. And you know, if this is something that we want to discuss in one of our internal calls about how to do this kind of thing, if you're interested in it and what the outcomes and the impacts might be, I think that's something that we can do. But this was just a really informative conversation, and I think that the services that your group is offering are so interesting and so different from what we see in some other places that they can be really useful for people in the communities.
Good, thank you.
All right, and so with that, I will close us out. Again, this is the last one for the year, so I will be revisiting these coffee breaks in September. and you can all enjoy your summer off, but we can continue these conversations, and please feel free, everyone, to contact me if you have questions or something that you want to hear about. Everybody enjoy your Friday. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.